Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We do have Ross Tucker coming up in 1 hour's time. We'll get him to weigh in on Russell Wilson's latest hype video and whether it actually gets going. I want to throw the Phil Collins theory at him. But we also got to talk about Thursday night footballs. We're getting you ready for tomorrow night's big matchup here in Cleveland. And it is funny that from the Steelers side, you got like Mike Tomlin just praising Myles Garrett. Hey, I got to figure out this Ken Dorsey, Jameis Winston off. They're going to try and throw the ball down the field a lot. There, I gave it to you, Mike. And then,
as spoiler alert,
the Russell Wilson hype video. And from the Browns side of things, as we are getting ready for this matchup, you have Juan Thornhill's very funny Instagram post saying, "Me tomorrow night," and it's Forrest Gump running really fast. That, and then you have DeJuan Jones going at our old buddy Adam the Bull, because Adam talked about DeJuan Jones needing to lose weight, and then he responded that maybe Bull needs to lose weight.
It's been a meltdown of sorts, isn't it? Like, this just wouldn't have happened in the Stefanski-Barry era before. I don't remember a night like last night in the previous 3, 4, 5 years with these two in charge and at the helm. Like, it just doesn't. And a big Cavs game going on. We're focused on a lot of things, but I got hit in so many different directions.
What was the thing that almost got? What was the beginning of the end for Freddie Kitchens? It was the Jermaine Whitehead tweet at Dustin.
Yeah, that was a big one.
It was. Now, granted, nothing that we saw on social media in the last 24 hours has been a physical threat to media members.
I got in trouble because I posted at the time it was popular on Facebook to say like Mark Safe from and then different events. I might have Mark Safe from Jermaine Whitehead. Got to talking to him that one.
I mean, in fairness, Browns fans were Mark Safe from Jermaine about 7 days later because he was cut because of it. But like, I think can we just assess this one thing first? It's a really funny Instagram post by our Instagram story by Juan.
It's really funny, but you shouldn't do this.
It was really, really funny.
No
okay.
serious person does this.
But can't I enjoy it in the midst of a lost season?
You can enjoy it all you want, but like if you had a horrendous show or something like that, not possible. I know, Nick.
Never
like,
happened. Only every day.
But like, you wouldn't laugh about it. You wouldn't ha ha about it. You'd be like, oh no! Like, it's such a publicly embarrassing thing for him. I don't know. It just rubs. It rubs me in such a way that is like, I'm happy. Yeah, well, don't easy. Happy that
this is hot.
You can go there, but also maybe don't go there.
So I do think, because you and I have talked a lot, and after certain games like yesterday's game, I keep reminding people it can get worse. It can get uglier. You know, and by the way, we haven't even started to get the reports that come out. You remember, I mean, in fairness, in the early Haslam era, it was like Sundays in November were like the Red Wedding. That's the second Red Wedding reference I've made this week.
Yeah.
But where
still applicable.
Where you just knew it was going to be like La Canfora, Schefter, all the big...
Those are my Sunday mornings. I was monitoring La Canfora.
Yes, and we're not there yet. Man, if they keep losing, it is going to happen.
Okay, but that's the difference, though, is that in the Stefanski-Barry time here, we hadn't had that. It hadn't been part of any of it. And so that's what made last night so interesting. I almost wondered if the players just started to come to the realization, oh, maybe they're not going to be around, and maybe I can do whatever I want.
Well, and what's wild about this is, because we haven't talked about this, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, Juan Thornhill was on a Twitch stream, and somebody asked him about something about Cleveland. He's like, I'm probably not going to be here next year. Actually, that's not fair. He said, I don't know I'm going to be there next year, which was, again, something that 2 years ago doesn't
happen.
Well, a couple
of these things. Was it Maurice Hurst with the podcast about a couple weeks ago, whatever it was? Like,
yep. The same last names. Remember? it was not Jefferson. Wait, was it the Jeffersons?
We're
the Jeffersons. Yeah, it was Quentin Jefferson.
Okay.
About the Deshaun thing. About getting mad about fans booing him and saying you lost a lot of fans.
The point is, well, no, so that's a different thing. So I think they already used up their let's go after the fans / media. They did that a few weeks ago with Jameis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jameis speaking afterwards on defense of Deshaun after Deshaun got injured. You already went to that card. We already did Browns players versus fans. They can't be
now
going
Browns fans versus media.
Is that like the new trick they're trying to do? They're just trying to turn it around there. Like I generally don't know, but this is not something you would have seen historically. This is not a good sign if you're Stefanski, in my opinion.
I don't necessarily take it as hard as you do. Like, I'm not going as hard, but I actually agree it's a bad look. Why? Because the biggest knock that I have on Kevin is he's not a leader. Like, guys listen to him because they like him. That doesn't go as far as if you fear the guy or respect the guy.
Well, there was clearly some level of repercussions if you did things that were wrong. Like, that existed around here because we just didn't see him do it the same way. Jed Wills, you came out today. He's going to be out for Thursday night after telling everyone less than, 2 days ago that he was going to be playing in the game. Maybe they're getting back to cracking the whip, and it's just going to take a little bit more time. I'm not sure.
I think that's probably going to hurt Kevin more than anything because that's not who you are. There is a part of this where, so I personally wish Kevin was a more leader of men type. And those guys, by the way, can't fake it. They walk into the room, you know them. The first time I met Ron Rivera, I was like, all right, he's a no BS kind of guy.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel's a guy. If you spent 5 minutes around Mike Vrabel, that there's no fake there. And the worst coaches in football are the guys who try and be that guy because they just come off like absolute D-bags.
Yeah, you have to be authentic. Like, yeah. We laugh at Harbaugh, but at the heart of Harbaugh is a very authentic human.
But if you
goofball, but he's authentic.
Like, if there was a report after a Steelers loss that Kevin's really trying to become a better leader, he's trying to become, it'd be the kiss of death. Because that's just not who you are. At the same point, we have to look at all this stuff. Any of these guys coming out and saying stuff like business decisions. And honestly, he was benched because he dared say that he was 70% and didn't want to play. And he felt like that cost him his job. That's why Jed got benched. It might be why Jed continues to be benched. Like, it sure seems convenient that the guy tweaked an injury for 2 straight weeks after the biggest misstep of his career, speaking-wise. But yeah, I think this is why when we heard Albert yesterday, and we had Albert on at 5:20, I know the morning show played this. We got into it again at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I can't for the life of me, knowing that they're 2-8, potentially going to 2-9, knowing it can get worse, because it's something if you're Jimmy, you've got to know, putting out the messaging that leads to Albert saying this yesterday with us.
Yeah, based on the job they did over their first 4 years, it's hard for me to look at it and not say they might all just get like a 1 year mulligan. And there might be a lot of people under pressure in 2025 as a result. But, you know, again, like, I just think the Haslams really like the model that they have, you know, and rightfully so. I think that's that organization is, I mean, maybe, I don't know, you guys are closer to it than me. Like, this is probably the most stable the Browns have been, you know, in the new Browns era, right? Do you really, if you're the owner and you've been seeking that sort of stability for this much time, is this the time to flip over the apple cart? I mean, everybody's got blood on their hands from the Deshaun Watson thing, right? Like, you know, so I think you bring back the same group, and then it's like your number one thing now becomes, how do we manage this going forward?
So Albert wasn't just saying that about Barry Stefanski and Dee Podesta. He's also saying it about Deshaun, thinking that Deshaun's going to be here and in the mix for being the starting quarterback.
Which I just don't see it that way, and I don't think you see it that way either.
I don't see any of it this way.
No.
If you've made the decision that these guys are coming back now, you've already failed. It's the reverse. Like, because we've made the Pittsburgh comparison all the time, and I'm here to listen to, hey, we got to keep Kevin because of continuity. I really am. Just mention something other than he's a good offensive play caller and he's a 2-time coach of the year. Sell me in some other way. Because if you go to the record, I'm going to say, because I saw when we posted this yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one lost season. No. 3 of the 4 last years, they finished below 500.
Right.
And somehow Kevin Stefanski has turned into Bill Walsh. I'm not here to say he's a bad coach. All right? I'll even give you, I think he's a good coach. I don't know he's a great coach, but I think he's a good coach. But that's the conversation. This idea of it's only one lost season and the framing of that, I cannot get behind that. And if you think you're going to sell these fans, because if you're making this decision 2-8, you're either going to have to turn about at 2-15 and make an unpopular turn of decisions there, or you're going to have to stick to it. And good luck. I mean, good luck. If you bring back all the power players and Deshaun, good luck.
Yeah, but we both know Albert doesn't just speak. That's why we have him on. He doesn't just speak. And so I feel almost like I'm being mind bleeped in a sense, right? Or almost be like I'm being gaslit here, where I'm like, how do I see it this way so adamantly that you can't possibly bring them all back, and Deshaun Watson's career with the Browns should be over, it should be done, and then someone like Albert, who we bring on, says something completely opposite, and, you know, there's only one person that really has a call in this, and maybe he just doesn't see it the way that we do.
And I'll be honest with you, again, you don't have to, because here's the thing, I'm not saying blow it all up.
No, you didn't
say
that.
And I do think that there's massive risk if you just fired everybody. That's not what I want. But
running it back isn't it either.
But yeah, there's like this idea that only the extremes matter. Pittsburgh's a great for instance. Like, yes, they were able to keep Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert as their power center for 12 years together before Kevin retired. Why? Because they didn't have a losing season. You've had three losing seasons in four seasons.
Well, and also, like, Matt Canada stinks at his job, so they're able to fire him and then say, Arthur Smith, you come in, now you're the OC. And they still made a lot of different moves when it came to stuff like that. Right? How do you think Bruce Arians ended up in Tampa Bay? Because he was so awesome in Pittsburgh. Like, they did that.
Well, and remember, he actually ended up in Indianapolis first because they retired him.
You're right.
He unretired to go to Indianapolis, and then things fell out. But again, you can make smaller scapegoat moves if you're winning. Like, that's why, coming off 11 wins, you could get rid of AVP and nobody, nah, I don't want to say nobody, but you could lose AVP and Bill Callahan, and you had people on this station saying, I don't really think losing Bill Callahan's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that when you're winning. If you're losing, and it depends how you lose. This is not just losing, guys. This is bordering on non-competitiveness in one, two, three, four games. Four. You've played 10 games, and 40% of the games, you've either been blown out from the first whistle, or by the end of the game, it felt like you got boat raced because of a bad quarter. Like, that's not losing. That's not being competitive. In 40% of your games, and you're not even 75% of the season.
Well, that's why I get mad when DeJuan Jones is treating this like it's Tuesday at Hilarities. You know, that's why I get mad when Juan Thornhill's cracking jokes. And these are the type of things we talk about putting a spotlight on it, Nick. These are the type of things that over the next few weeks, we got to figure out if it keeps going this way and you keep having people lighting up on social media and doing all these different things that Stefanski, give him a lot of credit in this regard. He had kept that stuff at bay. If it continues to go down this way, I just don't know how you can say that this thing is under control.
216-474-0092.
And that's what Albert was preaching, right? Stability. That was the reason why.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's very stable at the moment.
The only thing missing was, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't fire anyone. That's the only thing missing from the Browns sales deck of, hey, we really like our model. I'll ask you guys, would you be okay if everyone involved with this thing got a mulligan for this season and got a mulligan for the first five seasons, making the playoffs twice? Or do you expect some level of change? Because we are going to find our fall guy next on 92.3 The Fan.